This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. The business and economic word of the day this Monday is market saturation. The specific case in point is Michael Moore's latest documentary, Fahrenheit 11/9, about the rise of Donald Trump. It opened this weekend in more than 1,700 theaters, nearly half of all the theaters in the country, by the way, but brought in just $3 million at the box office, well below expectations. There is an increasingly crowded field of politically themed movies and TV shows and books and podcasts out there because, as Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports, that's where the money is.
Here's a taste of Fahrenheit 11/9.
How did this happen?
The American dream is dead.
This is vintage Michael Moore, confrontational, in your face. And given the film's unusually wide release, Hollywood clearly and mistakenly thought it was in line for a hit, maybe even another Fahrenheit 9/11. That was Moore's scathing 2004 takedown of the George W. Bush administration and a game changer.
No one expected this Michael Moore documentary to gross $222 million worldwide.
That's Jason Squire, a professor at USC School of Cinematic Arts. He says Fahrenheit 9/11 remains the most successful political documentary in history, and it was made on a budget of just $6 million. Squire says that's one reason.
Documentaries have exploded in the last 10, 15 years.
Only some of those films are about politics, and those that are mostly tilt toward the left. But conservatives are also finding an audience.
Obama has a dream that the sins of colonialism be set right and America be downsized.
That's from the 2012 film Obama's America, based on a book by conservative writer Dinesh D'Souza. The movie is second to Fahrenheit 9/11 as far as profits go. D'Souza's pro-Trump Death of a Nation was released nationwide this summer, but like Moore's latest, it didn't do nearly as well as D'Souza's earlier effort. Some films become political by accident. Take RBG, the story of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Here she is musing about the arguments she made before the court as a young lawyer.
I did see myself as kind of a kindergarten teacher in those days because the judges didn't think sex discrimination existed.
RBG was directed and produced by Julie Cohen and Betsy West. West says they didn't set out to make a political film.
We began the film in early 2015, which was long before the presidential election and really was not something that was on our mind at all.
But by May of this year, when RBG was released, Donald Trump was in office. And
the political landscape, Me Too, Time's Up, all of those events make Ruth Bader Ginsburg's life story that much more interesting to people.
The movie grossed $14 million at the box office and made Ginsburg a kind of cult figure, a big-budget feature based on her life is headed into theaters on Christmas Day. Paul DeGarabedian is a senior media analyst at Comscore, which tracks audience data.
If I'm a producer in today's world, a politically charged documentary or movie or TV show or book is much more interesting and much more financially viable in terms of being able to either turn a profit or draw a large audience than ever before.
Fear, the new book on the Trump administration by journalist Bob Woodward, has sold more than 1 million copies. Books from the late Senator John McCain and former Trump insider Omarosa Manigault Newman are also on the New York Times bestseller list. And some of you may recognize this voice.
I didn't know what to do with myself. And then we had an election.
Yep, that's Candace Bergen, reviving her 1990s role as TV news anchor Murphy Brown. CBS has bet big on the sitcom and its aging baby boomer cast. The show debuts this week. And there's more where all this came from. As they say in Hollywood, you need conflict to tell a good story. And we've got plenty of that. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.